Good evening. Have you ever prayed and had a prayer answered immediately? Anybody? You prayed and immediately God answered your prayer. I see someone back there. I see a few folks. I just had that happen to me not more than probably 20 seconds ago, singing the song. I'm exhausted. I was exhausted. Chris and I, we went to South Dakota this weekend. Jalen and Chris, they're in a wedding, singing and playing. I did some of the ceremony, then I did the emceeing for the reception. I'd never done that before. That was kind of fun. And being back here today, the wedding, church, I'm just zonked. And I just prayed to God, God, revive me. I need energy. It's like, boom, it just hit me just like that. That means we're going to go for a long time tonight. Amen? All right. Turn your Bibles to the book of Psalms, chapter number 23. Book of Psalms, chapter number 23. I have used the 23rd Psalms on reference on some different occasions throughout the preaching. But tonight we're going to really dive into this for the first three verses. And to be quite honest with you, I've always been scared to dive into this particular chapter because I myself don't feel like I have the knowledge that I need to have to understand this after listening to Brother Al Wells for many years preach on this particular passage and the depth that he goes into. And I've fallen in love with his preaching when he came to our church and began to preach on the 23rd Psalm. But I saw something when I was in Israel that I was able to see that Brother Wells was not able to see. And it's a particular verse that I'm going to bring you to in verse number 2, and that is the green pasture part of that. My intent tonight was to show you some pictures from this particular location. I showed it to Pastor earlier today. Just in the Valley of Megiddo, where the battle of Armageddon is going to take place. And the lushness of the greenery that is there will surprise you. And it's not just there, it's in many different places throughout Israel. Years ago, that wasn't the case. Israel was a pretty desolate place. Just before you go in and begin to see Mount Carmel and Mount Transfiguration, it was pretty desolate there, but throughout the years, I think it was back in the 70s, our tour host was going there since the 70s, and he saw something take place, and he took a note of this and shared it with us on this particular visit, and he showed us all the greenery that was around there. He said, this was not like this 35 years ago. He said, you did not see the green trees, you didn't see the grass. He said, the reason why I see it now is because believers since the 70s have been going over there, and they have planted trees in remembrance of their loved ones and brought this desolate land into a very beautiful place that it is today. And I entitled this message tonight, Here Am I, God, Make Me or Cause Me to Lie Down in Green Pastures. And something very dear on my heart that God has just spoken to me about. And so we're going to read these first three verses. I'm going to do something a little bit different tonight. I'm going to involve you with the reading of God's Word. So if you would, I would like for all of us to read out loud Psalms verse 1, 2, and 3. And here we go. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, what a great privilege that we just had to be able to recite your word. Thank you for this moment that you have given us and just our little span of life that we have to be able to go over your word and begin to examine it and begin to apply it to our lives. Lord, I pray tonight as you have spoken to me through this, I pray that you would do the same to your people here. Lord, my heart's desire is that when we walk in here, we would walk out of here differently. And that is wanting to serve you more, wanting to fall in love with you more, wanting to have a deeper relationship with you. Lord, I pray that that would be everybody's single heartbeat here tonight. I pray that you just be with me, use me to go through your word. I pray, Lord, that you just guide me. I pray, Lord, that I would not say anything to bring embarrassment to you, but Lord, my goal here is to bring glory to you. And we ask in your name, amen. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. One of the first things that I begin to realize in this particular passage here is the need of a Savior, the need of a shepherd. The shepherd has a very difficult task in front of them. So as I begin to get off the airplane a month and a half ago and begin to get around all the folks that we were going to be on the tour with, there is one particular person that was going to be in charge of 33, 35 people for 12 days. And this gentleman that we never met before had to corral a group of people that probably at times could be rebellious, could be disrespectful, and wanting to wander off into their own direction. One of the things that I began to realize about this gentleman, not knowing us before, the first thing that I noticed was he had a care for us. Why? Because we are underneath his protection for the next 12 days. He knew that if we were to step outside of his realms, that we would be in danger. And he would often say those things. He would say, stay within the sound of my voice. Please do not lose sight of me because you can go off and not find your way back. And that's due to a lot of tourists that are there at that particular time. That's also due to the fact that everything almost looks the same there. It's just incredible that way. And so he had a deep concern for us, not knowing us. And I thought to myself, man, think about this. Christ loves us and cares for us far more than this man does here. And he had a difficult task at times. And think about this. Trying to corral 33 people for 12 days isn't easy. I was pretty intent on listening to him, but I'll have to be honest with you. Throughout the process, I myself became rebellious. Can you believe that? I became rebellious. So what do you mean? How did you become rebellious? Well, I began to wander off. I began to go in my own direction. I took the headset, that's what he called our earpieces, every time we got on the bus. Please put in your headsets, you have to listen to me. And so we put in their headsets, and we always made fun of him because of the Hebrew that he spoke. We thought he was saying hat sets. And so it was just a joke with us. And I took those headsets out of my ears because it being in there for 8 hours, 10 hours a day, it just began to hurt my ear, and I wasn't able to hear the things that he was saying, and because of that, I lost out on some valuable information that he had. But I just noticed the job that he had wasn't an easy job, and I knew that I was in need of a tour guide. Why was I in need of a tour guide? Because I was in an unfamiliar place, surrounded with things I've never seen before in my life, but only reading about them. And so I was in need of a tour guide. I'm going to take this a step further. We today are in need of a shepherd. And you and I need to have a moment in our life and where we need to say, here, my God, make me to lie down in green pastures. I wish you can see with your eyes what I saw with my eyes, the beauty of the green pastures that were there. As sheep, will wander around aimlessly without a shepherd. They need to have guidance. They need to have direction in their life. No different than our tour guide. We needed him for those 12 days. We needed him to guide us, to lead us to our places of destination every single day, or otherwise we would be lost. We could have gone off into a hike where we went on a few occasions, and we could have wandered off and fallen off a cliff or fallen into a cave of those things. And we were that type of people on some occasions. One thing that I noticed about a shepherd is a caregiver. A caregiver. Not only is he a caregiver, but he is the protector. Not only is he the protector, but he is also the provider of the flock. He has a lot of responsibilities. He wears a lot of hats when it comes time for him to be out in the pasture with his sheep. By the way, shepherding is not 8 hours a day. It is a 24-hour day. They work continuously. They work hard. They work in most extreme weather conditions. I begin to understand why they wear multiple clothings over in Israel and in the Middle East, because the sun that beats down is very hot at times. You heard this last week from Brother Payne as well. And so they would clothe themselves. They're out there in the element. They're out there in the rain. They're out there in the snow at times. And so they're caregivers, they're protectors, and they're provider of the flock. Well, how are they the caregiver? Well, think about this. When a sheep gets sick, who is there to take care of the sheep? It's the shepherd. We have two little dogs in our household, and I know I kid about these dogs, but deep down inside, I have a little bit of love for them. I do, and I care for them. One of our dogs, and it's really my wife's dog, she rescued him from Sioux City, and that could be the problem with the dog. I don't know. I just kind of put that together. But our dog has a little bit of an ear problem. He develops earwax in his ear. And come to find out, his ears weren't clipped when he was little. So because of his ears not being clipped, you grow hair in your ears. I've noticed since I've been in my 40s, I got hair growing in my ears. I don't like that. But I've noticed with this particular dog, now not only do we have to feed the dog, but now we have become the caregiver for the dog. I kid you not, this week I pulled out two pieces of earwax in his ear about the size of a pecan. And I feel sorry for this dog because he walks around every single day just doing this, just trying to get this earwax out. And we laugh, and I understand it is funny, but I feel sorry for the dog. And so now we have become his caregiver. He's hurt, and by him shaking his head is telling us that he's got something uncomfortable in his body, and he wants us to do something about that. Dogs have a way of showing us that they are in need of some care. And so now almost every single day, I got to go get those wet wipes for dogs. They're called ear wipes. And I go in that dog's ear with some Q-tips or even some tweezers at a time, and I begin to pull out that earwax. Why? Because I want to bring comfort to that dog. I don't want that dog to be in pain. Nor does my wife, nor does my daughter. And so we provide care for them. So when a sheep gets sick or when it is wounded, the shepherd not only does he wears many hats, but now he's wearing a hat of, hey, I got to be a doctor to this sheep. I have a love for the sheep, and I care for the sheep, and I want to bring the sheep back to health, and so I want to do these things for him. And so he cares for the wounded. He takes time out of his schedule. And while he is taking care of these, he's still keeping track of the other sheep that are in his presence. So he takes care of the sick. Well, how is he the protector? I've seen these cliffs that are in Israel. I've seen some of the wildlife that comes in. And I've seen those things. So when a sheep is threatened or attacked, the shepherd becomes the shield of protection for them. See, the shepherd is what? He is the one who leads. A shepherd is the one who leads and gets out in front so that he can be that shield of protection for the sheep. Why? Because he doesn't want that sheep to get attacked by an animal that's coming their way to devour them. Or he doesn't want that sheep to go over a cliff that he hasn't seen. And so he's out there being their shield of protection for them. You know, you think about these things that they're doing. This is speaking of our Heavenly Father. Think about these things. The shepherd cares for the sick. Who do we go to when we're sick? Who do we often go to when we're lying in our bed and we can't move our body, we're coughing up, hacking up a storm, can't stop our nose from running from one place to the other? Who do we call upon? We call upon our shepherd. Why? Because we know that he wants to heal our bodies. And we call upon him. Does he heal our bodies right away? Not at times, but there are times that he does. And so we call upon him for these things. The sheep. What does a sheep do when it becomes hungry? Well, the shepherd provides a place for them to have an abundance of grass and to have an abundance of water. And so they will lead them over treacherous terrain to get them to a place to where they want to gather around in the green pastures and to begin to feast upon the grass of the field and be able to drink the waters of the streams that have come forth out of those mountains. It's a beautiful sight to take in. One thing that I know about a sheep, I've taken this from just being underneath the tour guide that we're under with that week. We know when we are in the presence of the shepherd. Do we not? We know that when we are in the presence of the shepherd. A sheep knows when he is in the presence of his shepherd, because when he's in the presence of his shepherd, that sheep realizes, even though they're as dumb as they are, they realize that they are in need of nothing. Think about this. This first verse, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd." What's it say after that? "I shall not want." When the sheep is in the presence of the shepherd, they want nothing else. They need nothing else, because all they want is right in front of them. They know, as dumb as they are, that he is going to care for them, he's going to provide for them, and he is going to protect them. It's an amazing quality that a shepherd has, to be able to bestow that upon a sheep. And so they have this knowledge about them. And all they want and all they desire is to be near their shepherd. The Bible refers to us as sheep. And you and I should have a desire to be in the presence of the shepherd. And who is that shepherd? It is Jesus Christ. It is our God. It is our Lord. We ought to have that desire. How do we get that desire? You got to have a moment in life where you say, "Here am I, God. Make me to lie down in green pastures." Take time out of your schedule, the busy schedule that you create for yourself. I don't create it for you. The pastor doesn't create it for you. You create it for yourself. You say, "Why do I have time for God?" That's your fault. You're the one doing the scheduling, not us. Not God. Take time out of your life and say, "God, here am I. I need time to be in your presence, and I want to lie down in green pastures." There is a time for you and I to be in a place of rest with the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. One of the things that I've learned recently in the last few weeks about a sheep is, if a sheep is not content, he will not lay down for rest. That kind of reminds us of ourselves, does it not? If we are not content, we're not going to take time to lie down and rest. A restless sheep will at times be made to lie down, not just anywhere, but in green pastures. Why does a shepherd cause a sheep to lie down? Because he realizes that through rest, he will gain strength. And he'll have more of an awareness about him. Last night we were driving home from Sioux City, and I had my daughter with me, and we actually had some other plans that was changed for me, and I wasn't planning on being home this morning. I was supposed to be up in South Dakota preaching, but those things got canceled, and I say that was a good thing, because I was worn out. And Lauren came up; she was going to take Jalen and Chris home, and I laughed when she got there and I said, "You're going to want to hear something funny." And anyway, long story short, Chris rode back with her, and Jalen rode home with me. And I really enjoyed that time, because it's a time for my daughter and I to have that bonding experience. So I realized that as a father, my time is running short for her being around in our household. One of these days, she's going to go off to college and she's going to marry a jerk he is a jerk. If he's wanting to marry my daughter, he's just a jerk right now to me. But anyway, I know those times are short. And I gave her some instructions last night. We're teaching her how to drive, and she's been driving on many different occasions. And so I had her drive from Sioux City last night to Ottawa. And that's quite a distance for her. And she's driving. She's doing fairly well. By the way, I don't think she really wanted to be with Dad driving. She probably wanted to be with Mom, but that's just my opinion. I know I cause a lot of heartache. But anyway, I noticed as she's driving, she did a fantastic job. She had her head back on the headrest. And you know what I said as a father? that was guiding her in her life, that wasn't a time for her to rest. Because as soon as you put your head back in that headrest and you're driving, what normally happens, you begin to doze off. And I said immediately, I said, Jalen, now is not the time to rest. Now is not the time to put your head down there, because you will fall asleep and will end up in a ditch somewhere. Sometimes that shepherd is going to have to cause that sheep to lie down so that he can get the rest that he needs to have. Why does he need that rest? Because a shepherd is constantly leading. A shepherd is constantly going forth, walking to and fro over deep terrain. It's not just flat pastures that they're on. It's deep terrain. The Lord doesn't force us, I believe, because he gives us a free will, a free choice. But instead, I believe he will bring us into a place of safety and commitment, to where contentment, to where we will want to lay down in those green pastures and have some time with the Lord. Well, what are the benefits to lying down? It is to allow us to focus on the shepherd, because I believe we spend so much time focusing on other things of this world. We know more about sports than we do about the Bible. We know more about a sports team than we do about the 12 disciples. We know more about someone's average than we do how many dispensations are in a Bible. We focus more on those things, but we don't focus on the shepherd. And we need to come to that place where we're lying down so where we can focus on the shepherd. And why do we need to focus on the shepherd? So that we can know his, say it with me, voice. See, sometimes we don't know when God's speaking to us because we haven't focused on him and we don't know what his voice sounds like. Well, Chad, we haven't heard his voice audibly. You know what I'm talking about. We need to take the time and realize there are benefits to lying down in the green pasture so that we can focus on our shepherd and so that we can know his voice. And as we begin to know his voice, we begin to be comforted by his voice, and it soothes us. For an example, as a person growing up in my mom and dad's house, whenever I got sick, whose voice comforted us? It was mom's. Mom's voice comforted us. Think about that. God's voice comforts us. No disrespect to moms in here, but far better than moms ever will. We need to take the time to lie down. But this is unlikely to happen if we are restless and wandering around. Take time to lie down in those green pastures. Rest, I have come to realize, causes us to be still. It causes us to be still. And the benefit is to know who the shepherd is and then to develop a relationship with him. Let me ask you a question. Have you taken a time in your life to lie down in green pastures, to focus on your shepherd, and to know his voice? If we're not doing that, we're missing out on a great opportunity. Well, Chad, I'll do that in heaven. We'll have plenty of time in heaven. If you're not going to do it down here, I wonder if you'll do it up in heaven, to be honest with you. We should have that desire to do it right now, because he loves us and desires to have a relationship with us. We should develop a relationship with him. And the rest that I'm talking about here is two things. One, it's reading and meditating upon his word. That should be very essential in your life. Reading and meditating upon his word. And it's not about, well, I got to read so many chapters a day so I can get this in within a year. Everybody's schedule is different. I cannot read the amount of scripture that pastor reads because my mind doesn't work that way. He's got a different mind, a different mentality. Mine's totally different. But I take the time to read and to meditate upon his word. The second thing is time in prayer. Throughout a lot of my preaching, I focus a lot on prayer. Prayer is one of the things in life that I cling to a lot. I pray a lot, and it's not brag about myself, but I pray because it brings me comfort. Why does it bring me comfort? Because I know who I'm praying to. I'm just not magically praying out here in the middle of the atmosphere, hoping that it'll just appear in somebody's lap somewhere. I know that I'm praying to an almighty God, and it brings me comfort. Well, how do we get to that moment where we say, here am I, God, cause me to lie down in green pastures? The third point is, there should be prayer resting. Prayer resting. Relationships develop when people begin to communicate with one another. The last 2 days, we have seen two people begin to go into life by marriage. And how do those marriages begin to take place? Because sometime months ago, they began to develop a relationship with each other by talking to one another. They had a desire to be around each other, to develop that relationship. And so they had an open line of communication. And you and I need to say, here am I, God, make me to lie down in these green pastures. Why? Because the shepherd has a desire to hear your voice. I saw two brides within the last 2 days, very beautiful brides, just looking in their eyes and in their face, just glowing, looking to their future husband, their leader, their shepherd in life. And it all started because they began to develop a relationship with each other months ago. Shepherd has a desire to hear your voice, whether it be in the closet or whether it be in public. And I'm going to put this out here tonight, and I want you to understand why I'm saying this. The reason why people don't or can't pray publicly is because it doesn't happen privately. Well, Chad, I'm scared to pray in big groups. Maybe it's because you're not praying privately. You should have that open relationship with God, where you go home, you open up that prayer closet, and you begin to develop that relationship with God. And when you come publicly, you're not even going to give it a second thought. You're just going to open your mouth, and you're going to begin to pray to God. Why am I saying this? I shouldn't have to ask for volunteers and beg for volunteers to pray. As we're seeking prayer for our missionaries. Shouldn't be that way. I should be turning people down. Chad, you're on a soapbox. No, I'm not. I'm right here in the pulpit, speaking the truth. If it offends you, you can do something about it. Here's what I noticed that takes place in churches. Women are more apt to pray publicly than men. Could it be because they spend more time in prayer privately? Could that be the very case? They have that time with God? Have they spent more time in the green pastures and they say, here am I, God. My husband's not doing it. He's a louse. So God, I'm going to pick up the pieces that I need to pick up. And if I got to be the spiritual leader for my family, so God, here am I. Make me to lie down in green pastures. Men, you need to be the leader of the home. And you need to have a moment and say, here am I, God. I'm the leader of the family. Make me, cause me to lie down in green pastures. I'm fed up with men who have put the responsibility upon the women to take the spiritual leadership of the home. Women desire to have their husbands lead them. Women who have lost their husbands wish that they could have that back in their life. And men, we have a tremendous responsibility to say, God, here am I. Cause me to lie down in green pastures so that my relationship could grow with you and so that I can lead my family to you. Have that here am I moment. Be a spiritual leader of the home instead of being a louse of the home. I'm in a lot of homes in this city throughout this whole entire city, and I see a lot of men that are louses. Well, Chad, you're pretty mean right now. I'm just saying, hey, it's time to step up and be a man. My dad raised me to be a man, not to be a wuss. He raised me to be a leader, not a follower. But how do we get there? There's got to be a stillness that takes place. We will never experience the calmness of the waters if we don't take time to lie down in green pastures. We will never get there. We'll never experience it. Last week, I was at Lake Manawal. Sometimes we call it Manna Swamp. It's just something that we've called it. I don't know if you guys have called it that, but that's what I've called it. And we're there. Just being there brought relaxation to me. There's something about the water. When it's calm, it relaxes you. And so there's absolute relaxation by the still waters of a stream. There was a time in David's life where he spent some time in Engedi. I shared some pictures with my father before church. One of the most places I wanted to visit the most out of Israel was Engedi. I don't know why, it's just something that was on my heart and I wanted to visit that. Here in the middle of the Dead Sea, in the desert part of that part of Israel, there is some green trees flowing out of the brook or out of the stream of Engedi. Beautiful, beautiful place. And I can understand, after being there, why David was experience what he was going to experience and begin to write a few psalms while he was there. Why? Because he was lying down in green pastures. He was beside the still waters. So he spent that time there and wrote some psalms there. The calmness of the water there is absolutely amazing. I can't compare it to anything else. I really can't. You can see it coming out of the what do they call that? A fountain? Is that what they call those things that fall down? And as it's dropped into the waters, it's just complete stillness. Complete beauty surrounds it. You can see through the water. That's how clear it is. You can see all the rocks that are underneath that water. And it's amazing. And so during the calmness of the water, David began to experience a relationship with God. And he grew closer to God. We're not going to grow closer to God if we don't take that time and say, God, here am I. I know there's green pastures around me, and I know you want me to graze upon these green pastures. God, bring me to this place so that I can take time out of my life and to begin to experience a relationship with you that I never experienced in my life. Why doesn't this happen? Well, I've come to a conclusion. I think we're afraid. I really do. Why do you say that? Well, several years ago, you folks know that I went to Pine Bluff, Wyoming, to spend some time in prayer with some good friends of ours. And I'm going to be flat out honest with you. I was scared to death. Why was I scared to death? Because I was scared God was going to speak to me. I was scared God was going to change my life. I was scared God was going to do something to me that I never experienced in my life. And guess what he did? As I look back, I'm thinking to myself, why was I scared? The shepherd wants to take care of me. The shepherd wants to cause me to lie down in green pastures. He wants to lead me to the still waters so that I can have a relationship with him. So are we afraid to grow closer to God? And could this be why we don't say, here am I, God, make me to lie down in green pastures? Some come to church because they have such a desire to learn about God. They want to further their relationship with God, but some folks just come to church just to keep pastor away from their house. It's become tradition to you. It's become monotonous to you. And I hope that that's you tonight. I hope that you take care of business. I truly do. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I don't want anything else but my shepherd, my God, my Jehovah, my Lord, my great physician, my great healer. I believe relationship with God suffers because we want everything else but God. Why do I say that? Well, we want more television time. We know more about television shows that are coming out that have gone and are coming back in than we do about God. We know more about the sporting events and less time and spend less time with God. I will say this to you. The way you live your life shows who you favor the most. The way you live your life shows who you favor the most. Take a moment. In a little life that you have, you can go to the cemetery tonight, and you'll see on majority of the headstones, you'll see a place where it says 19 so-and-so, and then you have, after that little dash, another date where your life ended. The importance is not put upon the beginning or the end. The importance is put on that dash, the time that you spent here on earth. And so some of those dashes are long, some of those dashes are short. But if that comes down to you, and that dash there is on a headstone, can people say that you said, "Here am I, God. Cause me to lie down in green pastures. I desire a relationship with you. Cause me to sit beside the still waters." This should be done for this very reason. Look in verse number 3. "He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." God wants to restore your soul. And he wants to lead you in a path of righteousness. Not in a path of despair. Not in a path of unrighteousness. But in a path of righteousness. Folks, all you got to do is simply say, "God, here am I. Make me to lie down in green pastures. I give you permission. Cause me to open up my eyes and begin to see you for who you really are. You're my God. You're my shepherd. I want nothing else." Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Our Heavenly Father, as the service has come to a close, I pray that in the next few moments to follow, that you would still continue to speak to hearts. Thank you for the challenge you've given me in my life. We ask you to continue to bless. In your name, amen.